All right, well, welcome both of you. Lord, we're so grateful once again that we get to be your people. And where two or three are gathered together, you're there in our midst. And right now we've got three here at Skycomish Community Church. And we know that you're present with us. I pray, Lord Jesus, as anyone listens to this online, that they will be able to also know your presence, to know your fullness, your goodness, your mercy, your grace. Thank you, Jesus, that you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You're our all in all. We just are so grateful, Jesus, that you chose to love us by laying your life down for us. Amen. And today I'm still in Ephesians, shock of all shocks. Ephesians 5, and I've got verses 1 and 2 up there because verse 1 that we did last week was just part of a sentence. So I thought maybe we should finish the sentence today. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And before I go too much further, I think it's good to do a review because the word therefore kind of jumps off the page at me when I make it that big on the screen. Follow God's example, therefore. Well, what's the therefore, therefore? And we look back in chapter 4. And we've been going through chapter 4 for a long time. Quite a few of the premises in chapter 4 all boil down to this. You're putting off your old self. You're being made new in the attitude of your minds, and you're putting on the new self. And so as we look at that, verse 25 was, don't lie. That's what we're putting off. Speak the truth. You're putting that on because we're all members of one body. So the attitude that we need to have is we're in this together. So as we're going through COVID-19, social distancing, even though we may not be too close to each other, we're still in it together. We're kind of all working through this together. We're looking at the way the world's going right now. Hopefully we don't become like Italy where everybody's just overwhelmed and there's not enough beds and there's not enough help. So Lord God, we just stop and pause right now and pray that Italy will see rest from this crisis soon, and that the rest of the world will be somewhat spared. We know, Lord, that all things work together for good to those that are called according to your purpose, and we even trust that somehow that this world event, this pandemic, will work together for good. I pray that it draws people to you, draws people in the church to repentance, and you also promise that if your people who are called by your name will humble themselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, Lord Jesus, that you'll give us rest. You'll bring us to fullness. You'll forgive us our sins. And we know, God, that if we just ask and repent and turn to you and say, Lord, forgive us, that you will forgive and you'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so thank you, Jesus, that we can trust not only in your name, but in your actions, in your words, in your personal being. We are so grateful that you are alive. Continuing in Ephesians 4:26 and 27 talked about in your anger don't sin, settle things quickly, don't give the devil a foothold. Ephesians 4:28, stop stealing, start working, you know, work with your hands. Why would you do that? So that you can share, so that you can have something for those that are in need, Scripture says. And right now there's a lot of people around us that are in need, and if we have excess, help us, Lord, to follow and share those with those that are in need, those things, those extra blessings that you've given to us. 4:29, unwholesome talk is something we're supposed to put off. Helpful, edifying talk, things, talk that builds up, that lifts up, that edifies those that are listening, that it may benefit those who are in our presence, those who listen, and just help us to change our minds, to stop thinking about ourselves and to start thinking of others, God. Continually see that through these put on, put offs. And in verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So again, we're thankful. This is a past tense thing. We're sealed for the day of redemption. This is a done deal. We've got the seal of God on us, and can't think of a better seal to have. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. And then be kind and compassionate or tender-hearted to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So like the verse in today's passage is that we're supposed to love as God loved, as Christ loved us. We're supposed to forgive just as Christ forgave. I mean, it's imitating God, following after God's example. The little chart here, the reason to be made new in the attitude of your mind, put off and put on, because just as in Christ, God forgave you. So we put off all of that bitterness and stuff, and we put on kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. And coming back to today's passage, pretty much last week's passage still, follow God's example as dearly loved children. And I guess, you know, to stress that a little bit, we're children of God. And well, I think before I do that, I want to go to Deuteronomy. And it's not going to be on the screen or the PowerPoint. Deuteronomy 6. That's on page 277 in the Pew Bibles. If you happen to have one of those nice green Bibles at home. Page 277, Deuteronomy chapter 6. The whole chapter, actually the whole book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the second law, and Moses is getting ready to pass the mantle to Joshua. He's walked with the Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness. He knows he's not going to be able to go in to the promised land with them, but he's passing the mantle to Joshua, and he's telling all of the Israelites again, re-giving the law that had been given to them previously. And as he does that, he explains to them why he's doing it. And chapter 6 really is, you know, kind of matches that section of following God's example as dearly loved children. This is all about generations. I thought I had a good slide in there somewhere. Maybe it just disappeared. There it is. It's generational, from ancestors to you, to your children and their children. So looking at Deuteronomy 6, these are the commands, decrees, and laws of the Lord your God, that the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. And then the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. So this heart attitude is supposed to be impressed on our children, on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. It's supposed to be our daily walk. Everything we do is supposed to impress our heart attitude. And if that heart attitude is to follow God, it should be evident. It should be obvious to those around us. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So thoughts and actions should be evidence, and God goes before us. It continues on, talking about how the Lord goes before. He's going to cover us. He's protecting us. He's guiding us. And we just need to acknowledge him in all of our ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct our paths. He'll help us to walk in a straight path. And then it continues, if you read the rest of the chapter there, you're just not to imitate the world. We're supposed to imitate God, which brings us back to Ephesians. I'm going to back up just a little bit in case I miss something here. be kind and compassionate, tenderhearted to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Walk in the way. That's what we're talking about here in Deuteronomy 6. Walk in the way of love just as Christ loved. So the way of love, what exactly does that mean? And I think for me, I want to turn to 1 John. Well, before that, let's get to 1 John later. See? It would help to have more people here. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 is the way of not love. So rather than jumping straight into the way of love, let's talk about the way of not love. And in 2 Timothy, you find that, Kathy? What page is it? Page 1818. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. So here's Apostle Paul, same individual that wrote the book of Ephesians, is written to a young pastor named Timothy, and he's telling him, watch for this, mark this, this is what it's going to look like in the last days. And it sounds like a description of something that's not love. There'll be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And then Paul continues to young Timothy, this pastor, he says, have nothing to do with such people. So he's saying in the end times, in the last days, there's going to be people that are the opposite of God. God is love and they're not. So this is the not love passage, and a description which could describe probably each of us at our worst. When we don't have love, when we're not walking in Christ, we can be all of these things. Lovers of pleasure, conceited, rash, treacherous. But walk in the way of love. And that's where the 1 John chapter 4. So 1 John 4 is on page 1862. And we're actually going to start on the next page, 1863, 1 John 4, 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So if we're supposed to walk in the way of love, we're walking in the way of God. And that's what chapter 4 was already talking about. Chapter 2, chapter 3, the whole book of Ephesians is talking about walking in love. It comes up again and again in Ephesians. God is love. And walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And continuing in 1 John there, 1 John 4, 9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Going back to Ephesians 5, 2, today's text. Walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And that's really what 1 John 4 is talking about, where John the apostle, the disciple that Jesus loved, is explaining that God is truly love. If you don't have love, you don't have God. It's that correlation, you know, if you have love, you have God. If you don't have love, you don't have God. It's God is love. So if we're walking in the way of love, we're walking in God's ways. Simple, but not easy. There's other passages in Ephesians that Paul has already discussed the concept of love, and I think going back to Ephesians 2, Ephesians 2, page 1784, verse 4, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive." God made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. So we were dead, God made us alive. "It is by grace you have been saved." That's some pretty pure love there. And again, looking at, we're supposed to love the same way that Christ loved us. I love it in Ephesians 5:2, it says, "Walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us." In verse 1 it said, "Follow God's example," or "be imitators of God." And then the next thing is like, "be like Jesus." It's another way of saying that Jesus was God. It's kind of subtle in there, but another passage, chapter 3 and verse 17 to 19, in second half of 17. Here's Paul's praying for the people in the Ephesian region there. "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love," that whole concept of love comes in again, "may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." For to be imitators of God and love the way that Christ loved us, we can find a way to have knowledge that surpasses knowledge. We can know beyond knowledge the goodness, the greatness, the full measure of God. "Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." And continuing on in chapter 3 of Ephesians, right after verse 19 comes verse 20, and I'm going to close with this. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Lord, that's our prayer today, that you can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And we have an imagination that you've given us and blessed us with. We can imagine that the entire world is made healthy again, that the entire world turns to you. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Take this world tragedy and turn it to something good, Father God. Draw people to you. Thank you that even in this, you demonstrate your love for us. Thank you for new life. In your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.